Welcome, welcome once again. We are doing the Order of Matins this morning, page 219, our opening hymn, number 562. 562, All Mankind Fell in Adam's Fall. Matins, page 219, we stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O
Now and will be forever. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Genesis chapter 3. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I surely will multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2. "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God."
A reading from Luke chapter 2. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.' And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer day and night. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the foundation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Father. Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love meditation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
When there are children in his sanctuary, glad to see you children here with us today. To all of you, I bring you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration today is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter, which we read earlier, but I will read one verse from it here. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. We tend to focus on only one promise in that sentence, but there are actually two. Simeon is promised that he would see the Lord's Christ, and that is surely the greater promise. But he is also promised there that he would die. And if you neglect the promise of death here, then you miss the point of the greater promise. Simeon is going to die. He doesn't know when. He doesn't know how. But he knows it is coming as surely as you know that death is coming for you. Simeon, though he is a righteous man, that is a man who believes and clings to the utterances of God, is also a sinner. He is one of many in a long line of sinners who began with Eve and her seemingly mute husband. And sinners have but one end, as announced by God at the beginning of the fall. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So Simeon stands in the temple, praising God, for he knows that God is faithful to all his promises. He knows that God will one day undo the curse that he unleashed on humankind. Simeon knows that somehow, even though he will inherit the dust as God promised, he will not forever be assigned to the dust. Well, soon enough, Mary and her husband, who also speaks very little, arrive with the antidote to God's curse. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The parents of Jesus, like Simeon, are righteous people. They too believe and cling to the utterances of God as Scripture reveals to us. Mary's husband faithfully brings her forward to the temple to do what the law requires, not knowing that God was about to make a wonderful revelation through another man and through another woman. As the holy couple come into the temple, as far probably as the women's court, Simeon has arrived too. And there is no doubt that in this scene there are probably more people besides the four who we have named thus far. But by the Holy Spirit and by his timing, Simeon beholds the Lord. By faith he knows that this child is the Christ. And it is a revelation to Simeon that must rival John the Baptist leaping in his mother's womb at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who but those led by the Holy Spirit could ever look at this child in this humble woman's arms and proclaim that there is the salvation of the world? There is the undoing of the curse against mankind. And not only does Simeon exclaim this salvation is for him and for the nation to which he belongs, but he also steps outside that dangerous pride of Judaism and says that this revelation, this Christ, is for salvation to the Gentiles as well. Only the Holy Spirit gave the infant John faith that salvation was in Mary's womb. And only the Holy Spirit gave Simeon faith that salvation now lay in Mary's arms. We in the church sing the song of Simeon every week as we celebrate and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon foresaw that Jesus would be sacrificed for the sins of the world and the salvation of the elect. And we know that in the supper, we receive the salvation of the world into our mouths. Simeon held Jesus in his arms, but we receive Jesus in our bodies. Only the Holy Spirit gives you faith to believe that in, with, and under the bread and wine is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit working the same faith in you that He works for Simeon, do you receive the undoing of the curse of God that you so skillfully earned? Yes, earned. You earned your damnation, and yet God undoes it. In Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, you are forgiven. What a glorious revelation that is. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and went then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. As Simeon holds the salvation of the world in his arms, Anna, a prophetess, a woman who clings to and believes the utterances of God, arrives and seeing and hearing the word, she praises God. And she goes on, it says, to tell those who are like-minded about the glorious revelation she has witnessed. Now, she is very aged, more so probably than our English text indicates. And so the specter of death is a constant companion for her. But no worries here from Anna. Wrinkled and failing flesh turning to dust aren't going to be the end of her. The Christ is here. The salvation of the world has arrived, and she is going to tell it to all as she has opportunity. Brothers and sisters, do you see what God is doing here? Do you see how God saves sinners, men and women alike, and as Simeon says, Jews and Gentile alike? Do you see how He has no regard for us as who we are as He brings salvation to us? Men and women alike are saved, and men and women alike serve in God's kingdom. It is what God, through St. Paul, tells us, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are a new thing in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not a new thing as the world tempts us to be. We're not a genderless people. We're not a people without specific vocations according to our sex that God has given to us. Rather, the new thing we are is righteous. We are righteous people by the power of God's Holy Spirit and by His means that God has given. We have received Christ. We are forgiven. We then are transformed. We, like Simeon and Mary and Anna, have been transformed into a people who believe and cling to the utterances of God our Father. So among God's people, there is no power struggle. There is no one-upmanship or contention. In Christ, we are all righteous. We are those who are transformed by the Holy Spirit through His means, just as Simeon and Anna were transformed. And as all people, our vocations are God's gift to us, no matter how the world regards those vocations. If you are a man, then you have specific God-given vocations. You know, son, husband, father, possibly pastor, but not all men. If you are a woman, then you have God-given specific vocations. Daughter, wife, mother, etc. In them, we joyfully live as God's righteous people, thankful for what He has done. Being transformed then, we regard one another first as fellow recipients of the salvation of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And being those who cling to God's utterances, we allow His Word to shape us as we carry out His appointed vocations, praising God that He has given us such privilege to be His people. That He has given such grace to people like us. And I'll tell you this day, brothers and sisters, to a person like me, thanks be to God. With Simeon and Anna, we relish that God has not only revealed our Savior to us, but He has included us in that long list of sinners who are now regarded as His saints for His sake. Short of the second coming, the promise of temporal death is still there, as is temptation, toil, and all the tribulations of this life. That's a promise. But you've seen the greater promise. You are among those who have received the utterances of God, and in them you have life and salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Oh,
Prayers of the Church, beginning with the Kyrie, page 227. Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God, our Father, you kept Abraham and Sarah in safety throughout the days of their pilgrimage. You led the children of Israel through the midst of the sea, and by a star you led the wise men to the infant Jesus. Protect and guide us now in this time as many set out to travel. Make their ways safe and their homecomings joyful, and bring us at last to our heavenly home, where you dwell in glory with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Hymn 561, you may be seated.
Amen.
Pastor McMinn, for delivering to us God's Word this day, and for all of our preachers this week and all of our presenters. The meeting will be in here. Is that correct?
The meeting will be in here.
Okay.
And we've got coffee and goodies and fruit and all that kind of stuff in the fellowship hall. We'll do our best to be back in here.